Tonight's second scripture reading, and mainly the text for tonight, I'm going to be jumping back and forth between Luke's record of the Christ's birth, and particularly highlighting the shepherds who were in the field, and the wise men, as we read in the first scripture reading. So this is Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray once more. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we would not know these things unless you had revealed them to us. And Father, we thank you that we have so much of your word that foretells and prophesies and tells us exactly what happened and the time and the place. And all that's important for us to know, Father, are the incarnation, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he who is God, eternal God, became man and in order to live a sinless life and die for us. And Father, we pray for your glory, for that gospel, that good news of glorious joy, Father, that glad tidings be heard and believed, Father, especially this year, Father, at this time of year. We do thank you, Father, that it's different for us, that we are no longer in darkness, no longer unbelieving, no longer ignoring your word and even the blessings of this season, Father. But we thank you that for us now, your people, your sheep, Father, we thank you that it has special meaning to us, and that as we sing the hymns and hear them played on the radio and in the mall and sing them ourselves and hear your word, Father, thank you that it's we know it's true, and we know that you've done great things in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners and to save his people from their sins. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for those glorious truths that we know, and not only know in singing them and in our heads, but we know in our hearts for truth. And Father, we thank you for the change that you've wrought in our hearts and giving us faith and repentance and drawing us to the Savior, Father, even as you've called many millions over the years, Father, to the Savior, and by your power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, tonight we would plead with you and come to you for your special blessing upon your word and the rest of our service tonight, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we can come to you and worship you and exalt our Savior, Father. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all the blessings. And we do pray, Father, that you would give us particular help in giving us opportunities and boldness, Father, in spreading the good news, even as the shepherds did, Father, as they rejoiced to see and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and then came back and praising you and glorifying you and spreading that good news. Father, help us to do the same. Help us to not be afraid of man, to love others as we love ourselves, and to be willing to open our mouths and to proclaim the truth of your word. We thank you that it is truth. We thank you that it's not a bunch of made-up stories, and we thank you that it's history, and it really took place, and the Lord Jesus Christ, being fully God, really became something he never was, a true man with both body and soul. And Father, we thank you for the great good blessings of that and knowing him and following him. And Father, we just pray for all that are here tonight, Father. We pray that you'd bless your word in a special way and make this not just a warm, enjoyable time, Father, with candles and music, but let this be, Father, a time when we would hear from you and be changed by you, be changed by the power of the Spirit, Father, so that we can glorify you. And Father, we just pray for your glory. And we pray that, Father, if there are any here tonight that are yet apart from Christ and don't know him in truth, Father, that you would open the blind eyes and draw them to the Savior, Father. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for being here tonight, and we ask you to bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Title for tonight's message is Lessons from Wise Men and Shepherds. And immediately you'll see that there's two different types of people they are spoken of. First is this group of wise men, and the second is the shepherds. Completely different in some ways, and yet most importantly, in the most important ways, the same and very similar with the same blessings that come from God by God's grace. There's a saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt. And that means that some things you become very familiar with and hear over and over again, you don't think much of. You become callous to it, immune to it. You've heard it before. It doesn't move you anymore. It just becomes too familiar. And that's the way it is. That's the way it can be, anyway, at this time of year. We hear over and over again. We've heard for many years the gospel, these accounts in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel of the birth of Christ. And we've read the prophecies in Isaiah and read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And those verses we've heard sung, and we've heard them over and over again in the Christmas carols, again, sung them ourselves as children, or heard them, we hear them on the radio, on TV, and in performances, Handel's Messiah, amazing. But sadly, because our hearts are dull and with sin and remaining sin, we can become just so used to these things that it doesn't thrill us anymore, that we don't really, we just go through the motions sometimes. We don't get excited. And if we are really paying attention to these verses, we can see this is meant to excite us, to bring great joy and excitement, even as the wise men and the shepherds had at the news and at the coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to take his word and really convince us that it's true, and be able to apply it for ourselves by his grace and that powerful work of the Holy Spirit, so that this Christmas won't just be like every other Christmas. And or maybe in the past we've had really good Christmases when we were really excited. I know, especially sometimes when you're a new believer. And I can remember when the first Christmas after the Lord saved me, it was an exciting time because now I understood the hymns and I knew what the message was for myself. But maybe that's sadly in the past, and maybe we need to be revived and refreshed again and just convicted and convinced of the good news and the glory of the gospel and of the birth of our Savior. What an amazing, amazing thing. Miracle, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all for him to come into this world to save sinners. He said that he shall call his name Jesus, for you he shall save his people from their sins. So tonight we're going to make a comparison between the wise men and the shepherds. And as you can see, there's some things that are the same and some things that are different in both these groups. Comparing the wise men and the shepherds, the things that are different, we can see right off the bat that there's a difference in status. The wise men were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And they were not from that area at all. So they were Gentiles from the east. We're not told a whole lot about these men, but some specifics we are told, and these things we can be assured of. There's a lot of things said about them that may not be totally scriptural, and the fact that they were kings, and the fact that there were only three, we don't know. We don't know if they were kings, we don't know if they were only three of them, or if there were more, but we know that what Scripture tells us, we can trust and count on that. It says that they were wise men, or magi, from the east that came to Jerusalem. So there was a difference there. The shepherds were from the region. They were Jews. They were believing Jews. They were men who had come to know the Savior and were out in the fields in the nearby region. The wise men, different status than the shepherds. Big difference between these wise men, these magi, and the shepherds. The Magi were obviously of importance, of high position. They possibly even astronomers, but they were not like the shepherds. The shepherds were poor, lowly in position, but they were lowly in a good way too, because they were low enough to come to know the Savior. But the rich wise men, and we know that they most possibly were rich because of the expense it took and the gifts that they brought, the expense of the trip, and their caravan, and the gifts that they brought, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. So we have some idea that they were possibly more wealthy than the lowly, poor shepherds. But position and rank and lowliness is no hindrance. The gospel is good news to all, to everyone, whosoever, and it comes to both the rich and the poor, to all classes and all peoples. It's good news to all people. So there's a difference. And the shepherds, we see lowly shepherds. Shepherds didn't have the highest reputation in those days. Shepherds were very lowly. They were on par with the tax collectors and the sinners. They were mostly thieves. They couldn't be trusted, and they didn't know anything. They weren't learned. And now these shepherds possibly were unlearned men, but they had been taught the most important thing. They had come to know in truth the Lord Jesus Christ. They had become sheep. Shepherds had become sheep. And these wise men, the Magi, had been truly made wise, not because of their great learning in astronomy or any other fields that they had learned, but because they had been made wise unto salvation, true wisdom that comes from above. The Bible tells us that in Jeremiah 9, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight." There's true wisdom, and that true wisdom is only found in truly knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were wise until salvation. They had come to know the the Savior. The lowly shepherds were more like those in Corinthians, and it was described in Corinthians, where Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." And we can see how the shepherds fit into that category. And the gospel comes particularly to the poor, to those who are in need, to the lowly. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many rich especially. It's a hindrance to the gospel, but these shepherds were, the gospel came, and by the grace, it's always by grace, no matter who or what, it's by grace and grace alone that these shepherds came. And what did they have in common? They were saved. They were both of these groups. Somehow these wise men had heard the gospel, whether it was some speculated it was through the ministry of Daniel, because they feel they were from Babylonia and had traveled from there. Others think it's they were from the Medes and Persians. But somehow they had come to know the Savior in truth and heard the prophecies about the Messiah and even about his star. But they knew the place from Scripture. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." You see, we have Scripture tells us from Genesis to Revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us about his birth, even back as far as Genesis, when the first gospel promise was given, and where the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, and he would bruise his heel. And then on and on through Scripture, we see glimpses of that prophecy of Christ coming as a man to save his people from their sins. And then we come to the book of Isaiah, and we read about the Savior, and in Isaiah 9, and for unto us, in Isaiah, yes, 9, chapter 9, and where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In chapter 7, and well, it tells us specifically that he would be born of a virgin, "And the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." You see, all these details are there for our faith, to increase and strengthen our faith, because, and it did with the wise men and the shepherds as well. They knew the word of God, and now they knew that the word of God had come true. The word of God is always sure. And the wise men and the shepherds were convinced of that. We don't know a whole lot about these men, but we know they were convinced that the word of God was true. And we know that because they acted on it. They believed the word of God and they acted on it. And that was something that they both had in common. They were saved. They believed and they respected the word of God. They found it, they heard it, and they believed it. And then they acted on it. So often, many know the word of God, hear the word of God, and yet don't act on it. Don't deal with it. Don't prove that they believe it. You see, it's not enough just to hear the word of God. And again, these verses especially, we hear over and over again. But we need to believe them. We need to learn the lessons of the wise men and the shepherds, and believing them enough to be convinced that it's the word of God, and to act accordingly. How many hear the word of God and don't do that? So the shepherds and the wise men knew the word of God. The shepherds proved their belief by what they did. They traveled a long distance, with which wasn't easy in that day. Probably with a lot of a big caravan, taking the journey, a long journey, which was subject to, in those days, robberies and people coming and stealing all they had. So they took the dangerous step of traveling that distance with great wealth. And then they would go through the heat and the cold, subject to the elements. Certainly they believed and they acted upon that belief, believing that they were coming to find the Savior, to seeking the Savior. So they took that risk. And they even, even went to the wicked Herod. They were even confident enough and bold enough to go to Herod, this wicked, wicked man who had murdered his own family and would have not even blinked an eye at murdering them, killing them. But they were trusting in God, and they took that risk and again, driven by the conviction that this was the Word of God, and they would surely and truly find the Christ who was to be born in Bethlehem. And those details that we're told here, and we are told a lot of details, and God wants us to know those details, not just so that we have a lot of more information, but that so we can realize that Christ is a man born in history. This is history. This is real, true history. That Christ, there was a city named Bethlehem. There is a city named Bethlehem where Christ was born. And all the details here, we're told at the time when who was governor and who was in power and Herod and all these details, so that we know this is a historical faith. This is something we can set our hearts on and believe, because this is real and this is history, and Christ truly was born. And that's important, because we need to believe on the Christ, the one who is fully God and fully man. They both, again, reverenced Scripture and sacrificed. They sacrificed for the word of believing the word of God, not taking extreme measures and being inconvenienced. Now, it just made me think about how little it takes for us to be thrown off and inconvenienced in hearing the word of God. Just think if we all had this kind of conviction, this kind of zeal to worship God and to be convinced that what the Word of God says is true, and we're going to live based on it, and we're going to act upon it, and no matter what we have to suffer or what we have to give up, we're going to make sure that we worship God, and we're there when the Word of God is preached, like the shepherds and the wise men. How unlike today, many, many neglect worship and just miss it for any small reason. Just not like at all the wise men and the shepherds. They were willing to sacrifice. And the shepherds, here we see that they heard from the angel. It says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." I'm sure they were, and we would be too, but as the Lord does, the Lord not only brings the truth, the message of the gospel, but he also brings comfort. It's a particular ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate, to convict the word with the word of God, but also to bring peace and comfort to the hearts of those who are convicted. You see, when the Lord brings us to repentance and faith in Christ, he does bring us peace and comfort. And it's the grace of God that we trust in and believe in, and just as the angels did here. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." It's the gospel. It's the gospel that comes to all people, men, women, children, rich, poor, from every tribe, tongue, nationality, color, throughout the whole world, not just the Jew only, but the Gentiles as well. The gospel is going out through the whole world, and it's the gospel of Christ coming into this world to save sinners. He says, "Good tidings of grace, great joy, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, to you shepherds," the angel told them, "to you, lowly shepherds, to you is born," and Christ is born for us. He's born for us, God's people, and he came to live and to die for us, to give his life a ransom for many, for us, for his people. It said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so that message was for the shepherds and for all who come to that Savior. Born in the city of David, from the line of David, from the house of David, a Savior. And that is primary. That is first and foremost in the coming of Christ. Christ did not come just to set a good example and to be a role model, or to be a good person, or anything else. But he came first and foremost to save his people, to be a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And anyone and all who come to him as that Christ, believing the word of God, believing the message, the shepherds had the angel speak to them directly. We have the word of God. We're told it's a more sure word. But the key is how we respond to it. If you're here tonight and you've heard this and don't respond as the shepherds did and come to the Savior, then certainly you'll eternally regret that. And it's coming to Christ not only as Savior, but Lord. He is Lord. And we must come to him as Savior and Lord. And it goes on to say, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, a feeding trough. And they did. They went. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, an army of angels, a heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So it was as the angels went away from them into heaven that the shepherds said, and here's their response, and this is so key. They said, let us now go to Bethlehem. They believed the message. They believed the word of God, and they believed it, and they acted on it, and let us go. They were willing to go to act on it. How many of us hear the word of God, are convicted that it's the word of God? And it is. When we read the Bible, when it doesn't matter who's preaching it. Well, it's the authority is not in the man. And the focus wasn't on the angel who proclaimed it. It's on the word of God, the authority of the word of God. It's true, and it comes with the authority of God. And they say, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. You see, they had no question that the word of God was true. And that's the way we have to hear it as well. We can't say, well, maybe it might be true, it might not be true, maybe part of it is true, maybe only some. It's true. It's the word of God. It is the truth. And we need to hear it and believe it and act on it just like the shepherds did. They believed that what the angel said, the word said, had come to pass. And it said, and he knew it was from the Lord. The Lord has made known to us. So they acted and they went with haste. Notice that they didn't delay. They didn't say, well, let's get a good night's sleep first. And you know, we'll get a good night's sleep. We'll have a big breakfast. And then we'll have a lot of strength to go on that journey. No, they went right away. It says with haste. In other words, they didn't delay. They didn't procrastinate. They just left. And they left in a hurry because they were excited to see. And they found exactly what they were looking for. And that's true as well, because everyone, Scripture tells us, if we seek him, we will find him. If we seek for him with all our heart. Jeremiah tells us that, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And certainly that future and hope is alone found in Christ, the Savior. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. That certainly is a picture of these shepherds and the wise men as well. They went, they believed the word of God, and they acted on it. They sought the Lord, seeking the Lord. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, it's absolutely, positively necessary to seek the Lord, to take the message to heart and to seek the Lord. That's primary. And all must seek him. It doesn't matter if we're more like the wise men with high position and wealth or privilege, or we're like the lowly shepherds, the least of the least. And either way, the command, the call goes out to all to seek the Lord. And that's true for those who are apart from Christ, certainly, are bidden not so much to seek the Lord, but just to come, to step out in faith and trust, repent and trust the Lord. Come to him by faith. But all must seek him. And even we who know the Lord need to continually seek him. You see, we can't have any peace, any goodness apart from Christ. Christ is our all in all. And it takes effort to seek the Lord. Think of the effort that the wise men put in. Think of all they had to do, all the distance they had to go on, all the perils they had to risk.
But they went and they sought the Lord and they found him. Think of the shepherds and their journey and how quickly they went. And they're rejoicing at seeing. And then they shared the good news with others. That as well is something that we need to imitate. We need to be willing to open up our mouths if it's such good news and if it's he saved us and it's the only way that sinners can be saved, then how can we be silent? How can we close our mouths and not want to share that good news, that life-giving, peace-giving good news that's to all men, that Christ has been born. Christ is the Savior and he's been born. So all must seek him. All who seek him will find him. But being convinced, do we do this? Are we convinced by the word that it's not only for God's glory but for our good that we seek the Lord and continue to seek him daily and come to him? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The shepherds did that. They went right away, didn't hesitate. They sought first the Lord, and they were rewarded, richly rewarded, with many, many blessings from the Lord. And that's true, will be true of us. Nothing is more important. Nothing should keep us back. And so many things do. If you think about all the busyness of this time of year and how much of the busyness, how much of the things we do, especially at this time of year, are frivolous things, less important things. There were many, so many good things at this time of year, but we tend to get caught up on all kinds of nonsense and peripheral things and things that just are not going to last for eternity. Then less important, certainly, than the Lord himself. Nothing is more important. And that's the way the wise men acted, and that's the way the shepherd acted. And this is the way we need to act. Whether we know the Lord or not, we need to make it the most important thing, and especially for those who don't know him in truth. Scripture, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? And what can he give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. The answer is nothing. Nothing is more important than seeking the Lord, than finding him, than obeying the Lord, the word of the Lord, and coming and worshiping him whenever we can, whenever we can be with his people and hear from him. Hear the word of God, the preaching of the word. We're not going to hear angels. No angel is going to come up to us in a field somewhere and bring us a message. We're not going to have a dream. We're not going to have a prophecy. We have all we need in the word of God, and we need to hear it preached, and believe it and act on it. Worship and bow down. You see the wise men worshiping. It says that when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and cast themselves down, fell down. They threw themselves down before this little baby who didn't look anything like a king, who didn't look anything like the Lord of heaven and earth, but they knew from the word of God that he was. They believed and they acted properly. That should be our response to the word of God, and especially to the Savior, that we should, in our hearts, if not with our bodies, cast ourselves down before him and worship him. He deserves. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And he's the Savior, only Savior for sinners. And he's come to live a sinless life for us and to die a substitutionary death for us in our place. And we should certainly fall down before him and worship him and give to him. And give, it says, and they opened their treasures and they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, fitting for a king, gold, frankincense for sacrifice and to acknowledge his sacrifice and his being our high priest, and the myrrh, specifically pointing to, it's an anesthesia that it points to his death, his painful substitutionary death on the cross for us. How does this message grip us? What do we do with it? Are we like the wise men? Are we like the shepherds? How do we hear the word of God? Do we receive it like them? Do we believe it like them? Or are we just casual hearers and go away unchanged by the word of God? Not at all like these shepherds. Do we believe it? Have we come? The Lord himself is coming again. And will we be ready then? And especially now at Christmas time, and tonight's Christmas Eve, tomorrow's Christmas Day, we're going to be we're worshiping tonight. We'll be hopefully worshiping in our homes and hearts and in private devotion and prayer tomorrow. But let us hear these things and think about them and believe them as if we've heard them for the first time, as if we were like the shepherds out in the field and hearing from the angel and seeing these multitude of hosts proclaiming the glory of God. Let's hear this and respond to it as if we'd never heard it before or heard it for the first time, glorifying God. It says, and the shepherds return glorifying and praising God. Is that going to be us tomorrow morning or tonight or on and on into the year? Are we going to be able to sit before the word of God preached and hear it and respond to it and have this reaction, be able to glorify God and praise God and share with others, worship God, fall down before him? Is that going to be us, or are we just going to go back into the old routine again and do our thing, our religious thing, and go on and just get caught up in this world? Or is this Christmas going to be different for us? Let's pray that it is, and pray that if this message is never gripped you before, if you've never truly come to the Lord Jesus before, may this year, this Christmas, this year, before it's too late, we don't know if how long we'll have in 2015, or whether the Lord will return this year, or whether we'll die, or whatever. We need to come, and we need to seek at all times, seek the Lord while he can be found. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this good word that we've heard tonight. Father, it matters little who the messenger is, or Father, where we hear it, but it matters most importantly how we hear it and whether we hear it with faith. And we know that you alone can bless this word to us. You alone can enable us to hear it as truly as it is, not the word of man, but the word of God, and can bring it forth with power to our hearts and change us by it. Father, we thank you for the examples of the wise men and the shepherds. We thank you for your faithful people throughout the years, Father, and we especially thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. We thank you that it's your Word, and a sure Word, a true Word, a Word that will never, never pass away. Father, it's the Word that we can stake our very souls on, and we pray that you would help us to hear it this year like that. Father, we just thank you and praise you, and we pray for your glory, and we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.